From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now. And in a few minutes, the challenge facing the U.S. that one economist thinks will change the way we live and work in the next 30 years, an aging population.
But first, the militant group ISIS, or the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, vowed today to take control of Baghdad after seizing Iraq's second largest city, Mosul, and Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit over the past 2 days. At the moment, U.S. military experts think the fall of Baghdad is unlikely, but they are considering a request from Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki to send drones and U.S. airmen 2.5 years after the last U.S. combat troops pulled out of Iraq. Joining us on the line from Erbil in northern Iraq is New York Times reporter Tim Arango. And Tim, describe to us what the mood there is right now, given all this instability.
Well, I spent most of my morning in early afternoon up by the main checkpoint where refugees are still coming in from Mosul. And the real stark difference today from the other days is that there's many fewer coming, and actually some are starting to go back, which is quite interesting because they say that they heard the city's quiet, there's no violence, and that the militants, whoever they may be, are not harming the local population.
Okay, so given that then, what about your reporting about the rest of Iraq and how they're looking at all this this surge of activity from ISIS? It seems as if they are marching towards Baghdad.
Yes, certainly I think Baghdad, from what I know, I'm not there, but Baghdad is sort of in this state of fear, and people are not going to work, stocking up on food. There's more checkpoints, I'm sure. And also I think especially Shia are flocking to join the army or sign up for these Shia militias to go and fight. But it's a very, very fluid situation and something that's kind of unprecedented here despite all the mayhem over the last 10 years.
Tell us a little bit more about that, because anyone who has watched Iraq closely knows exactly what you just said, that there has been huge amounts of instability for a long time. Is it necessarily a surprise that we're seeing this surge of violence and cities actually falling into the hands of militants?
It's a surprise in the sense of the manner of the mayhem, if I can use that phrase. The even when the sectarian war quieted down in 2008, 2009, after the surge of American troops, a level of violence, just indiscriminate violence of car bombs and stuff, never really stopped. But to see militants actually come and actually control territory is certainly different. But what we're hearing today that's kind of interesting, and I don't know where this goes or what this means, but that so far, at least in Mosul, the militants are not terrorizing the local population. That's not to say that they won't. And so you're hearing a lot of people say they're more worried about what the army is going to do than in terms of shelling or airstrikes than what the militants might do to them.
So talk to us a little bit more about exactly who these Sunni militants are. You've reported in today's New York Times that it includes former senior Ba'athist leaders who evaded capture when the U.S. had occupied Iraq a decade ago.
Yeah, there's been, ISIS, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, and its predecessor group, Al-Qaeda in Iraq, they get all the headlines, but there's other Sunni militant groups, particularly this one called the Naqshbandi Army, which has been around for a while. When the Americans were leaving a few years ago, they really worried about this group and what it might do. It's led by former Ba'athist officers, and it's quite well organized, and it sort of plays the long game, as one expert on that explained it to me. And they're sort of coming out of the woodwork, but they were actually very visible last year. There was a series of these sort of uprisings last year throughout the country, and this group played a big part in that as well.
So how is this recent surge of violence from these Sunni militants reverberating around the region? What has your reporting shown about how...
I think it's all connected. I mean, this one is like, I mean, it's almost like you could say now, given the events of the last 4 days, that the Syrian civil war and the Iraqi, what's going on in Iraq has become sort of one, the two countries have become one battlefield of the same sort of sectarian fight. A lot of the fighters that came into Mosul came in through Syria, and a lot of, over the last year, fighters have gone back and forth, and their goal is to sort of erase that that border between the two countries that's artificial anyway.
And what are the options that the U.S. has or is considering? I mean, given that it seems as if people are starting to talk about, could Iraq fall? Could Baghdad fall?
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, Fallujah was captured about 6 months ago, and the Americans rushed more weapons and arms and things to the Iraqi government to support them. And it's done nothing as far as giving the Iraqi army the ability to retake Fallujah. Instead, a lot of this material, U.S. material, is now in the hands of militants. We saw that a couple of days ago in Mosul, American Humvees and things in possession by the militants. And so my understanding is the U.S. government has indicated that they're going to give them more support, the Iraqi army. But as long as this stuff is going to end up in the militants' hands, it raises the question of what the benefit of that is.
Hmm. That's New York Times reporter Tim Orengo speaking to us from northern Iraq in Erbil. Tim, many thanks.
My pleasure.